Welcome to The Kitchen Table, a conversation about faith, music, and culture. Join Shine.fm's ministry director, Brian McIntyre Utter, and his 18-year-old son, Jake, around the table for this week's chat.
Welcome to episode 4 of The Kitchen Table. It talks about faith, culture, music, and I'm Jake.
And I'm Brian, and we are a father-son team that does this weekly podcast for you, just to get conversations started between you as a parent with your teenager or young adult. Just some faith prodding, so to speak, just to discuss and learn together. So this week we have a new faith question we'll be discussing, also looking at our Music Matters segment and some new music and some old music. And then on the Culture Shock segment, we'll be looking at LeBron James.
And his L.A. trip.
Big old fat contract. We'll be discussing that in a little bit. Faith question for today.
So this week's faith question is, does technology and like the advancements of it, does it affect our faith and our like our belief in a positive or a negative way?
Okay, so the bottom line question is technology, does technology make our lives easier?
Yeah, I think technology does make our lives easier. Like in the aspect that with the transition period of advancements in technology, like the industrial age, like how everyone was inventing like the cotton gin and the Gutenberg press, I think they were made to make our lives easier. You know what I mean? There were like different difficulties that were coming with it, but I think we did our transition as like humans to grow into those difficulties. You know what I mean?
I would say that majority of technological advancements have really only happened within the last 50 years of humanity. When it comes to,
I mean, there's different technology advancements in like throughout the entire span of human existence.
So let me ask you this question. I actually do a workshop for pastors when I talk about media and technology, and I start the workshop by asking if they agree with this statement. Christians have always been at the forefront of technological advancement, honestly.
I mean, I can see how it is, but I think Christians has always like been kind of behind, like with like
embracing that technology.
Yeah, you know what I mean.
Let me prove you wrong.
Okay.
The Gutenberg printing press, which you mentioned, of course, the first thing that they printed, and really the reason that it was created was Gutenberg was a friend of Martin Luther, theologian, and they wanted to mass produce the Bible. And so the Gutenberg Bible was the first Bible ever printed in mass production and distributed. So that technology was created simply to advance the spreading of the scriptures and the spreading of the kingdom of God. Fast forward to radio. We all know it was Tesla now, not Marconi, that invented the radio. And radio, one of the first people to take radio in the early infancy days and realize that you can talk to hundreds of thousands of people by using that technology was Amy Semple McPherson from the Foursquare Gospel Church. Billy Graham, you might have heard of him, was the first to realize that television and network television could speak to millions of people, and that's why you would see him on network television a lot. You know, he actually turned down a contract for a television show from one of the major networks, like NBC, back in the day when he was a young man. They wanted him to do a show, a weekly show, and he said, no, that's not what God's calling me to do, and you saw the tremendous impact he had. It's interesting, when you go back to the moving picture camera, which was invented by Thomas Edison. Lots of patents and inventions from him. He didn't know what to do with the moving picture camera. He gave the patent to his local church, and unfortunately, they didn't know what to do with it either. But today, you see all kinds of Christian films, which are great. So we've always been there, and many times the inventions, we've been a part of the creation of them, or we have been a part of the early adapters to that. Now, when it comes to technology today and all the internet technologies, it is changing quite a few things. In fact, I found something in the MIT Review. Now, if it's from MIT, you know it's got to be smart. But a study that was done, and the question was basically, is technology today, especially the internet technology, affecting our faith? From this article, it says in 1990, about 8% of the U.S. population said they had no religious preference whatsoever. By 2014, that was at 22.8%. So you see this dramatic increase in about 25 years. The last figure I could get was 23% from 2015. And then 2018, I saw figures that just says that 71% of the United States claim to be Christian today. So that's 29% that doesn't. So we're still right around that 23, because you have The other faith religions in the United States, you know, Islam and Buddhism, yeah. Jewish and those kinds of things. This survey that was conducted wanted to know what is the biggest influence on religious affiliation and why the number of people that don't claim a religious affiliation is climbing. And there were three things that they said. One, the biggest influence on religious affiliation is how you are brought up. You're brought up in a faith.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Or a religion, if you will, yeah. Whether it's Christianity, whether you're Jewish, whether you're Muslim, you're brought up in that in your family. And so that has a huge impact on you. Well, many people today are brought up not affiliated at all, and that does affect them later. In fact, the number of people with a religious upbringing has dropped dramatically as well as those numbers coincide. But it's not the full percentage, so we just can't say, well, they weren't brought up in the faith, that's why the number is falling. Yeah. More people today are getting college-level education. They say that's another part of it. Part of it is college education. Now, you're probably thinking, well, why? Well, many students that are, you know, raised in the church, go to a secular university, professors that don't believe in the existence of God can influence their thinking.
I mean, that's like the entire plot of God's Not Dead, right?
Exactly. And so that has a dramatic effect on it, but it's still not everything. They said the third component, believe it or not, is when the internet comes in, the creation of the internet.
Really?
It said in 2010, 53% of the population spends at least 2 hours a week online, or about 25% are surfing more than 7 hours a week. Today, it's 92% of people are online, spending almost 24 hours a week online. I think you mentioned it earlier, the conclusion you can draw from the correlation, again, it is those three different things, the internet being a part of it, is the fact that we are distracted.
You're listening to The Kitchen Table. It's a father-son podcast talking about faith, music, and culture.
You believe that? That the internet and technology has distracted us from our faith walk.
I think there's people will use their Bible app on their phone instead of their actual Bible because it's easier, but I can speak from a personal level. Like, I have tried to do I do plans, like, on the Bible app, but I completely get distracted because I get, like, a notification from a friend or something.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I think is that what you mean by, like, the distraction of it?
Definitely part of it. Or just the amount of time you spend watching television, because mm-hmm. television is technology.
Yeah.
You know, we were watching a couple hours of television as a family years ago, as on average in the U.S., and today that number has grown dramatically, as in consuming media through the different platforms that are available.
You're listening to The Kitchen Table. It's a father-son podcast talking about faith, music, and culture.
I don't want to sound like a grumpy old man.
Yeah, no.
You know, I will get to the point where I'm going to show you that technology is a good thing as well, but I also want to point out
technology is what pays your bills.
Yeah, that's it. I'm not a grumpy old man because I live in a technological world. I think it can be used dramatically to spread the love of Jesus Christ in the world. But we do have to be careful. How can it hurt our faith? You said it can become a distraction. We are always on. We are always connected. That is the world we live in today. So it can be distracting. A constant stream of small distractions robs us of something that's very important in our lives. And many people, and I don't know if the study's been done yet or not. If it has, let me know. With the rise in suicide, they say that when you're consumed with technology, you actually harm your purpose in life.
Really?
You're living in the technological world. It's a fantasy world in many times, like gamers. They're spending mm-hmm. all that time there, even though they think they can make money off of it, and some of them do with their YouTube channels. That is not a true purpose. And as human beings, we need a purpose. We need something mm-hmm. that keeps us going. And when we lose that purpose, it's just a slippery slope down to, you know, wherever we go. Consider this. The direction of your life that you're thinking about as you're taking your morning walk, however you're on Facebook, you know, rather than tuning into the pastor on Sunday, you're checking out what's happening on Reddit. Rather than praying at night, spending time with God, you know, reading scripture, praying, you're finding out what the latest thing is happening on Netflix or Hulu or yeah. Amazon Video. You know, these are just ways of distracting you from that. And this can lead to spiritual stagnation. So when we're distracted, we lose our purpose, and that leads to spiritual stagnation.
You're listening to The Kitchen Table. It's a father-son podcast talking about faith, music, and culture.
Read some information by a guy named Albert Borgman. He's a professor of philosophy, University of Montana. He says, we are being shaped by technology. We don't even know it. 90% of our population settle in for 2 hours of television each night. We have lived through a time of unprecedented technological innovation. I use a thing when I do a workshop, and I have to remember it off the top of my head, about the number of years before 50 million people were listening to radio. I think it was like 38 years.
Yeah.
The number of years it took before 50 million people were watching television was like 17 years.
Really?
The number of years it took 50 million people to get online on the internet took 4 years. Facebook took 3.5 years, but Facebook was limited.
I was like, wasn't it only college students at first?
College campuses, certain college campuses for the first number of years. And then once they opened it up, it took off, of course. It took 30 days before 50 million people were addicted to Angry Birds.
Oh, dang.
30 days. You can see just how this technology is unfolding. Now get this. It took about 6 hours before 1 billion people on our planet were arguing about whether a dress was black and blue
or
white or gold. You see how the technology is just faster and faster as it goes along. We are living through an unprecedented technological innovation in our time. What that has done to us, it has allowed us to not develop things that are important to our spiritual walk. Patience is one of those things. We want everything now.
Yeah. I mean, because
we
want
answers now.
Because we get everything so quickly now that, like, if we have to wait for it, it's not norm.
If we wanted to know something, we just Google it, right?
Yeah.
You know,
I mean, that's what mom did yesterday.
Right. She wanted to know something. She Googled it. We spend our time watching television and we've lost the art of actually telling stories ourselves and having conversations. They say that because of technological advancements, our imaginations are now impoverished. This professor of philosophy, Albert Borgman, talks about developing a culture of the table. I thought this was kind of appropriate for us. This is the kitchen table.
Yeah.
The culture of the table, he says, is a presence of a family or a gathering of friends around a dinner table, bringing together of food and conversation and body and spirit, parallel there to the Eucharist, the communion that you take in church, a meal which helps Christians remember that God's gift of salvation to Jesus Christ. It's kind of a parallel into that. So we need to give thanks for the positive benefits of technology, but we also need to be very clear that our way of life is no longer primarily shaped by faith.
Yeah.
That technology is speaking into our lives. For this reason, he says, practices that have been so central in congregational life, like communion, studying scripture, serving the poor, gathering with friends about fellowship meals, observing the Sabbath, singing our faith, become more important than ever to our Christian walk. There are certain things that are not helping our Christian faith. What can we do when it comes to technology and our faith? We have to manage our time. We have to be careful of the distractions that come our way. We need to focus on the development of our spiritual life. That's prayer. That's reading God's word. That's having conversations. Having conversations, which is what we're doing right here. We also have to know how to live in the moment. You know what drives me crazy? Now, later this week, we're going to go see a baseball game.
Cubbies.
And
let's go.
What drives me crazy is when you watch the game on television and you can see people, you know, who are right behind home plate, right there. Those seats are the most expensive seats. They probably are. And they're on their phone.
It's so annoying. Like, if I could be in their place right
now. They're not living in the moment. And that's what happens when we get together with friends face-to-face. We don't live in the moment. When we go to church, leave the phone. You know, I have a friend who recognized this in his own life. He started taking paper Bible to church again. And then his teenage daughter started taking paper Bible to church again, and how that dramatically affected them. Now, I'll be honest with you. I bring my phone. I read scripture on my phone, and that's when I use it. Occasionally, I might tweet something in the sermon right in the middle of it. I don't know if that's a good thing or not, because then it distracts you. That's one of the things that we have to be careful of. We have to live in the moment. Something else that happens when we are always connected to information, we can have information overload. Now, there's a couple aspects of this. One is temptation. It's a lot easier to get information that is not healthy for us. In a word, pornography. It is so prevalently available with one click away. The other is misinformation. There's a lot of information out there that says it's truth and is based in this, but when you dig down deep into it, it's not. So we have to be discerning that misinformation. That is key there. We have to be critically evaluating all this information that is now at our doorstep that we carry in our pocket. That's more power than what went to the moon in 1969. One of the master's degrees I got was in communications, and one of the things that we studied that I realized here in the U.S., this master's degree was international, was when we were living in South America. We do not teach in the United States media literacy.
Mm-hmm.
Around the world, in elementary schools, they teach it, a curriculum in the school, media literacy, that all media has an agenda, that all media has a certain slant, and that we have to be critically evaluating all media and realize that. So how do we evaluate misinformation critically? If it honors God, make use of it. If it encourages sin, we don't. You have to find those false teachings. You have to be aware of those things. We do have to make the best of technology. Is it hindering our spiritual growth? Well, if it's hindering how you're treating each other, then it probably is. Mm-hmm. Like I said, the printing press that allowed for mass production of Bibles. The web has revolutionized how we share faith. It's an opportunity for us as believers to connect to one another globally. Another example I use is William Carey, the father of modern mission, he was known as. Now, mind you, he left England, I think it was the 17th century, and of course, he went to India. Now, for him to get to India, he had to get on a boat. Mm-hmm. Took him months to get to India because they had to go all the way down the southern tip of Africa up through the Indian Ocean. So what happens now is I can literally not take a five-month boat trip. I can, in 5 minutes, share my faith, this faith I have in Jesus Christ, to a young Muslim man in Egypt in literally 5 minutes because of the advancement in technology. It gives us that opportunity. We were created with minds capable of improving our world. And technology, when used correctly, will help us do that.
It's kind of ironic that we're talking about this because you guys are listening to this using technology. Mm-hmm. So we're kind of sharing our faith through technology as we speak right now.
Exactly. You're listening to The Kitchen Table. We're a father-son podcast on faith, music, and culture. What's your intention for your own spiritual growth when it comes to technology? How am I using technological tools that are right in front of me, my phone, my tablet, my laptop? How am I using them intentionally? If we are strategic, it may actually help us in our spiritual growth. Do you believe that these devices can help our spiritual growth?
Most definitely.
I think so. How would you do that?
Well, an example for me, we're both video people, and I'm actually making a video for our church because our pastor is retiring right now. And so we're trying to get every aspect of our pastor and what he does for our church. It's also kind of like that thing where you can use technology to just show people what our church is like and how to engage and bring people into our church and how welcoming it is. I think a video shows, it's kind of like the saying, like, a picture is worth 1,000 words. And I think technology helps us to build that.
Technology seems to be an extension or an amplification of humanity. And so it's for this reason that we must better prepare ourselves and learn to use technology to help form our own spiritual lives. Now, again, we've got to be careful. It can be distracting, absolutely. Mm-hmm. But we can use it to build each other up and to build ourselves up. You know, like you mentioned, devotional plans, being connected with people, getting in a chat group with others to discuss this. In fact, we have a group on the Shine.fm Facebook page. It is a group called The Kitchen Table that you can be a part of, where we have faith discussions, where we put out these questions every week and then allow everyone to talk about these questions. And so these are just ways that we can build each other up.
You're listening to The Kitchen Table. It's a father-son podcast talking about faith, music, and culture.
It's interesting that when you look at generations, this generation, your generation, whether the relationship is face-to-face or whether the relationship is digital, you don't really see a difference in that. But you do see that benefit in that face-to-face communication. You do want to get together. You do want to share a cup of coffee. A good cup of coffee, and you want to have those faith conversations. You like doing that, which is a great thing. God created us for community, and that's definitely something that is a benefit because of technology. It forms us into community like never before. Yes, we're distracted, absolutely, but we are able to do now more than we ever could because of technology and being in community. Final thought on our faith question?
Basically, to sum it all up, is that we need to be careful with our technology and our distractions to use technology to help spread God's word, because it is very useful. We can reach so many people in minutes.
Yep. 96% of the world's population lives within cell phone service right now.
Really?
Yeah. Okay, that's our faith question for today. We'll move in now to a segment we call Music Matters. Okay, Music Matters, we share songs that were current that we like, and then I actually go back in time and pull one out from my youth.
Pre-born self,
from my youth, and that's what I've done. Maybe you've done it with your children. You've introduced them the great songs from your history. Say, hey, listen to this song. I've done that throughout your life.
Oh, yeah, you have.
We'll go with a new one. My new one for this week. I am proud of this. I actually got to introduce this guy to you because I saw him at a conference, and I'm thinking, yeah, my son's going to like this guy. He is from Seattle. I guess it's considered hip-hop rap style.
Oh, my dude. I love
this
guy.
His name is Peabod.
I love Peabod.
And I described him to Jake as if Steve from Blue's Clues started rapping.
Yeah. It's one of my favorite albums right now.
He's a millennial. He's got a new, is it an EP or a full album?
It's a full album. He just released a full album on Spotify. It's called Healthy Snacks.
Healthy Snacks. And so I'm going to play a little snippet of a song that he wrote specifically about millennials, and it's quite humorous, called Shoot from the Hip.
Hello, I am a millennial in my home studio watching YouTube videos. I grew up on Legos, Lunchables, and Egos. Not to brag, but participation trophies, yeah, I got those. That was years ago, three past...
See, for an old guy, I know how to pick fresh stuff for you today.
I love it.
And
I
actually
Peabod.
Like it. I like
Peabod
it, too.
Is my dude. Okay. Right. So my song for the week is Ren Collective.
Okay.
I've always kind of been a fan of Ren Collective. I'm a drummer, so I've played Ren Collective, like Build Your Kingdom Here, all those, they're classics. And so their new album is called Good News, and so I'm kind of using their title song. It's called Rescuer, and then in parentheses, Good News. And so the song is, it's kind of like a gospel choir kind of feel to it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just talking about how even in the midst of our darkest days, there's still good news, and that good news is Jesus Christ and our salvation. And so here's a little snippet of Good News.
He's our rescuer. He's our rescuer. We are free from sin forevermore.
Like that song.
Yeah.
Kind of a good feel to it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right. So now is the point where we go back in time. One of my favorite bands from the 80s, they went into the 90s, was the band Whiteheart. They lasted a lot of years.
I've
they actually had lots of different members over the years. You know, when I go back to those bands from the 80s, there's always one album that I feel that was right for my generation, that hit right at the right time and just was like, yeah, this is awesome. This is the one I'd love to share this with my friends who don't know Jesus because this is cool music. For me, I was in college, believe it or not, and it's from 1989, the Freedom album. I think was a great album. They have a drummer, Tommy Sims, which you have to check out. He's amazing.
I've heard of him.
Okay. The song for me, and by far my favorite Whiteheart song that they've ever done is called The River Will Flow. Just love this song, love the sound of it, love the lyrics.
Nice. I like it. Actually, right. I think I've heard it because...
I'm sure I've played
it before. It was on your iPod when I was a kid, right?
Probably so.
So I think I heard it when I was a kid.
Yep, there you go. Music matters. The new, the old, and everything in between.
All right, and moving on to Culture Shock. All right, so this week we are talking about is he a basketball legend? I mean, he's big in basketball.
Well, some people consider him a GOAT, which I had to look up GOAT because I'm not down with your kids'
it's
lingo.
Greatest of all time. Come on.
Yeah. Up front, though, I only follow baseball. I really, professional sports, I only
follow baseball. I'm kind of getting into basketball.
Basketball. I was in basketball when Michael Jordan was playing, from Illinois, Chicago Bulls fan.
Yeah.
But I really haven't been in basketball for years.
I'm a Pacers fan. So
you're a what fan?
A Pacers fan.
Okay, that's
Indiana.
Fine. I'd be all right. But LeBron James, of course, did something that, you know, a few years ago he said he would never do again.
Yeah, he told them they would never leave.
He would never leave Cleveland. He was going to, you know, retire there, and that was going to be it for him because, you know, he grew up in Ohio. Cleveland was his town. Mm-hmm. He played there. He took off. He went to Florida.
Miami.
He came back, won him a championship, and now he's taken off again. He signed a four-year $153.3 million contract.
Wow.
Which is crazy. I don't know what aspect in Culture Shock we want to talk about this, and I don't want to, you know, complain about wage gaps, and I am not a proponent of distribution of wealth. My question is, are professional athletes, celebrities beyond professional athletes, are they overpaid? Are they overpaid? Break this down for a second. When you average the number of games, not including playoffs, it's a...
So regular season?
82 games a season. 4 years, that's 328 games. So he's making almost $500,000 a game.
Really?
$500,000 a game.
And I mean, that's not including like sponsorships and...
No. That's just the contract. Wow. Now, mind you, a big percentage of that goes to his agent. And
I mean,
got all these
LeBron
people.
James does do a good job with like sharing his, like
he is
giving.
Yes, he likes to give money away. He does a lot of great things with his money. He's a guy who never went to college, went pro right out of high school. I don't even remember if he finished high school or not. He was just, you know, he was great from a teenager. When you look at that amount of money, it's just crazy. And I did some figures here because I really wanted to know people in the world that make a difference, like teachers. The average teacher's salary is like just under $39,000. So from one game, if he gave up his salary from one game, he could pay 12 teachers' salaries for a year.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
The federal minimum wage, now minimum wage is different from wherever you go, but the federal minimum wage, if he had someone working full-time 40 hours a week, he could actually, again, with one game, pay the salary for a week of 1,611 employees.
Really?
Just one, yeah. You see how this is kind of crazy? Is it wrong?
I mean, they did have to work hard for...
They do work hard.
In the position that they are in.
Right. I mean, there's only a certain number of players that can reach that pinnacle of success. They have to have that talent.
Mm-hmm.
If the marketplace says this is what we'll pay you, because you have an owner of the Lakers and they're business people and they're making lots of money off this team, and they realize we can afford to pay them this amount of money and it's going to sell tickets and maybe bring us championships and they're going to sell merchandise like crazy. So again, bottom line, when you look at the business side of things, it works for them. But then when you look at the humanity side of things, and again, he does a lot of good with his money.
He does.
And it's down to us. Are we willing to pay the price for the jersey, the ticket to go to the game? If you're willing to pay the price and you have to increase the price of those tickets, the market is what it is, and you're willing to do that. Now, if it dried up, then those owners of those teams wanting to make that same profit margin, they'd have to reconsider contracts and paying people less money.
Mm-hmm.
Is it wrong? No. The market determines it. We determine it with our pocketbooks, and so...
Mm-hmm.
But he does do a lot of good, and I do appreciate that about him. He has sent, I forget how many young people to college. It's a crazy amount that he's
covered. Does give a lot of money away.
So he'll be able to give a lot more away as well. If he's looking for any Christian ministries, I know a few that could really use some funds. I'll throw that out there. All right, Culture Shock for this week. Well, thanks again for hanging out with us. Episode 4, we looked at the faith question.
Does technology distract us or improve our faith?
And how we can utilize it to strengthen our faith, not become distracted, how we're careful with it. Yeah.
Yep. And then we moved on to Music Matters, and we talked about Ren Collective and new and upcoming rapper Peabod, who I love so much.
And the classic White Hart tune.
And your classic oldie but goldies. And then we talked about LeBron James and Culture Shock.
Well, that'll put a bow on this episode. Remember, if you want to follow us on Twitter, my Twitter account, Brian Utter, UTTER.
And I'm Utter_Butter99.
And you can follow us on Twitter. Send us your faith questions. We love to get faith questions from you so we can discuss those and learn from each other. Why we do this, again, more importantly, is for you and your child or your parent, depending on who you are, having those faith conversations over that kitchen table. Thanks again for listening.
Thank you.
Love to hear from you. We'll talk to you again next week.
Have a great week.
Thanks for listening to The Kitchen Table on the Shine.fm podcast network from Olivet Nazarene University. Be sure to subscribe for more content delivered each week on faith, music, and culture.